were you feeling about the Education Minister's announcement yesterday evening? Have you had a moment to internalise what she had to say? And of course, I mean, we've had lots of feedback from you over the course of the day, but we haven't yet on this show. And I was wondering how you are feeling about it, whether you are ready to let your children go out into the big wide world now that lockdown is partially over for school children anyway. We know that the Education Minister announced that grade 7s and 12s will return to school on the 1st of June. And have you decided whether you'll be adhering to that? Some parents aren't sure. And of course, many need to return to work. So the announcement will bring some of those families relief. But what about the question of whether schools will be ready to receive them? Education expert Professor Nick Spall is with us to meditate on Angie Motshekga's decisions around the reopening of schools. Dr. Spall, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon. Firstly, won't you please just give me your reaction to the minister's announcement of the grade 7s and 12s returning at the beginning of next month?
Sure, and thanks for having me. I actually thought that the minister did a really good job of the announcement of the schools reopening. I think that she was very frank about describing some of the challenges that they have and past failings around providing water and sanitation. She was transparent with those challenges. She shared the scientific evidence showing that children are at much lower risk than adults and outlined some of their plans, which doesn't mean that every school is ready for children and teachers to go back. But I thought that she showed leadership I thought in general I was quite impressed.
Angie Motshekga has made it clear her department relied heavily on medical and expert advice to inform its decision to reopen schools. But the medical science around how children's bodies respond to coronavirus seems fairly contradictory at the moment. We're not sure what sources the ministers used either. How did you feel about that?
So I think that there's certain points that we don't know. You're right that we don't know how children react to some very rare diseases. You might have heard of Kawasaki disease and some other rare respiratory illnesses. But the important thing to remember is that these are extremely, extremely rare. So in New York, there are 100 cases, but there are 2 million children that live in New York. So I think that putting these into perspective, children are at an extremely low risk. No child in South Africa has died from COVID-19. And internationally, of 100 children that get infected, the death rates are 0.02% for children aged 0 to 14. So this is not a virus that affects children and adults in the same way. Old adults are at very high risk of developing severe illness and possibly death. Children essentially are not.
Dr. Spall, there are some parents who are prepared to send their kids to school, some who are in two minds about it. And given what you've just said about what the science shows, what are the questions that need to be answered before they can make a final decision, especially given that many fear that they're having to balance their children's safety with whether they'll lose an entire year potentially of schooling?
So I think that the question is not only about the health of the children, but also about the health of their teachers, their principals, and also elderly family members that the children might live with. So even though children are at very low risk of getting severely ill from COVID-19, it is possible for them to catch the illness, have very mild symptoms, and pass it on to an adult. But even there, the evidence seems to suggest that children pass on the virus at lower rates than adults do. So that's also further encouraging that it seems like a reasonable option to reopen schools. But I think that schools do need to put precautions in place like more hand washing, social distancing, making sure that children are aware of how the virus spreads and that they need to wear their masks. And that's not just for their own safety, but it's also for the safety of their parents and the safety of their grandparents. Because their grandparents, if they live with them or interact with them or older teachers or parents that have diabetes, are at much higher risk of developing a severe illness from COVID-19 and possibly dying from it. So I think that the risks that parents face, they need to weigh up those risks compared to, you know, do they have comorbidities? Are they living with very elderly people? Can they take the precautions necessary? If they are doing all of those things, then I think that they should feel comfortable to send their children back to school.
Is it clear who will be carrying out the screening of pupils? If there's a suspected case, how schools will go about quarantining those children before they can get health authorities involved?
So I think this is a point that has been made by Equal Education and a number of other, the Legal Resources Center, Section 27, that we actually need more information from the department. But the announcement did only come yesterday. So I think we're hoping that between now and the 1st of June, that the minister will issue more information about what are the protocols that schools are meant to follow when they identify a case of a child or a teacher who tests positive for COVID-19. Because the question is not if a child will get infected or if a teacher will get infected. Most definitely some children and some teachers will get infected. There's nothing that we can do to prevent that. The point is just what we do once we know that. What are the protocols to send the class home or to stop schooling if there's a number of infections in a school? We have to learn to live with this virus because it's going to be with us for the next 2 to 3 years. So I think we're hoping that the minister gives us more information in the next 2 weeks about what those protocols are.
Dr. Spall, in terms of the delivery of PPE, sanitizer and everything that will be required to keep pupils and staff safe, are you confident that all the channels are there to ensure that, that all of the PPE will be delivered on time?
No, I'm not. I think that we'd be living in la-la land if we thought that the South African government is fully equipped to deliver uniformly across all schools. We have 25,000 schools, and in 25 years of democracy, we still haven't managed to provide running water to 3,000 of them. There's no way that the department is going to be able to provide completely safe schooling for all 25,000 schools in a three-week period. And I think if people are saying that, then that's unrealistic, both to expect it, because we didn't have that before COVID, and also to think that the department is going to do that. So I think that we're going to see the inequalities in the South African education system really coming to the fore here, where some schools will be completely prepared and others won't. And we really need to put pressure on the department to make sure that they prioritize those schools and make sure that they do have the protective equipment and water that they need.
Dr. Spall, a question about the numbers of children who may be left behind in this exercise, and not just by the fact that they don't have access to online schooling, for example, but the fact that the year is passing as we speak and time is going and there's still an entire syllabus, whatever grade you are in, that has got to be covered in the space of a year. Many parents are going to opt not to send their children to school because they're not secure about the issues we've just spoken about. What is going to happen if there is a large number of children who will essentially have lost the year by the time 2020 comes and goes?
Yeah, so I think that the minister was very wise in saying to parents that if they don't feel comfortable to send their children back to school, then they are within their rights to do that, to keep them at home. But that just because they don't feel safe doesn't mean that we shouldn't open schools for parents that either do feel safe or don't have another option to send their children or where to send their children. And I think, as you mentioned, there are these high costs to schools being closed. Schools, when schools are closed, children are not learning. For at least 80% of learners in South Africa, they are in households where there's not a computer. There's no computer in 80% of South African households. There's no internet connection in 90% of South African households. That's according to the General Household Survey of 2018. So I think we can say that while the lockdown was happening and while schools are closed, for at least 80% of learning, there is for at least 80% of learners, there is no curricular learning that's happening. All curricular learning has stopped. We must also remember that 9 million kids get free school meals when schools are open.
Of course.
So the knock-on effects on acute malnutrition for kids are also a severe issue for them.
Dr. Nick Spall, thank you so much for discussing this range of issues with us. There's so much to think about here, and it really helps to have the input of an expert to think through these issues as parents. If you are the parent of a grade 7 or a grade 12 learner, share your thoughts with me on this. Do you feel inclined for them to return to school within 2 weeks? Do you think the schools will, your child's particular school, will have everything in place to be able to continue as normal? Or are you afraid that certain things will simply not be in place? The PPE will not have been delivered. The sanitizer will not be there. Will you be constantly in a constant state of worry about your child's welfare? How do you balance that with the need for your child to be educated this year, not to lose the entire year? Do you feel the pressure of that as well? Or are you one of those parents is taking a philosophical approach to this and saying, well, you know, it is a lost year. It is out of our control. It's a case of an act of God that brought this into being. And so we must simply accept that, and we must try to continue next year.